Let me begin my report to you by reading a poem. And if I could have your attention, that would help. Thank you. The name of this poem is called The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Robert Frost claimed that he wrote this poem for a friend and fellow poet, Edward Thomas, as a joke. When Frost was in England, he and Thomas frequently walked in the woods. Thomas was always indecisive about which road to take. The interesting aspect about poetry is that it can have many interpretations. For instance, when Frost read this poem to some college students, they did not view it as a joke. They took it very seriously. Some critics say that this poem is about the inevitability of choice. This poem was popular during World War I. Therefore, some view this poem as a statement about finality because so many soldiers were unable to go back to their home roads. Edward Thomas, the inspiration for this poem, was killed in World War I and could not go back to the roads of England. Robert Frost wrote this poem in 1915, years before the National Federation of the Blind came into existence. Even though Robert Frost was unaware of the Federation, I think the last line of his poem is a good description of our experience in our movement. I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Think about society's view of blindness versus that of the Federation's. The Federation's view of blindness was revolutionary and certainly represented the road less traveled. In 1963, okay, if you don't keep quiet, guys, it's really getting ridiculous. When Kenneth Jernigan delivered his speech entitled Blindness, Handicap, or Characteristic, he said, "No one is likely to disagree with me if I say that blindness, first of all, is a characteristic. But a great many people will disagree when I go on to say that blindness is only a characteristic. It is nothing more or less than that. It is nothing more special or more peculiar or more terrible than that suggests. This simple concept was revolutionary because if blindness is merely a characteristic rather than a handicap, then blindness does not in and of itself limit an individual in ways that are significantly and in ways that are significant than those imposed by the combination of other characteristics that an individual may have. Over the years, we have expanded this concept today we know that blindness is not the characteristic that defines you or your future. Every day we raise the expectations of blind people because low expectations create obstacles between blind people and our dreams. You can live the life you want. Blindness is not what holds you back. I believe that choosing to join the National Federation of the Blind is choosing the road less traveled. We could be home in bed or sitting on the couch doing nothing. Instead, we are here at this convention supporting each other and improving the lives of all blind people in Maryland and across the nation. On a personal level, I recognize that joining the NFB was one of the best decisions that I have ever made in my life. It has made all the difference. Because of the many friendships that I have developed over the years with each of you. We have played together, shared hopes and dreams, and struggled to overcome obstacles. Thank you for touching my life and making it better. Our willingness to take the road less traveled has made all the difference in the lives of blind people. Consider some of our accomplishments during the past year. Our convention agenda contains a page of pictures from each of our Braille and Richmond Literacy and Learning Bell Academies, which were held in Baltimore, Glendale, and Salisbury. These programs are one of the most important things that we do as an NFB affiliate. Through our NFB Bell Academies, we are loosening the bonds of illiteracy while raising self-esteem and bolstering self-confidence. Laurel Kirby was one of the first students in our very first Bell program. Today, she is in college. This past summer, Laurel took the road less traveled and volunteered in our Baltimore NFB Bell program. We thank all of our volunteers who made it a difference by touching the lives of the 25 students who attended our NFB Bell Academies this year. Melissa Riccobono has a beautiful singing voice. She wanted the enjoyment of performing a concert, but took the road less traveled by also making the concert a fundraising event. She did this concert and she raised over $1,000 for our NFB Academies. This year, we made it possible for three middle school students to attend the Independence 101 program at Blind Industries and Services of Maryland. Through our Youth Empowerment Stipend Grants, these students began their journey on the road to independence by learning blindness skills and by overcoming their fears of blindness. At our banquet tonight, we will award John T. Macross scholarships to two deserving graduate students. Counting tonight's recipients, we will have been awarding Macross scholarships to college students for 33 years. We have taken the road less traveled by primarily funding these scholarships and grants ourselves through our bid for Opportunity Dinner and Auction and our Crab Feast. I want to congratulate and welcome all the staff and students from the BISM Core and SAIL training programs who are attending this convention. Your choice to get Adjustment to Blindness training will make all the difference in your lives. Taking the road less traveled is not easy. However, we are able to do this because we are an organization with commitment and synergy. In his 2018 banquet address entitled Authenticity, Diversity, and the Synergy of the Organized Blind, President Rick Abono offered the following definition of synergy by Stephen Covey. Synergy is what happens when 1 plus 1 equals 10, or 100, or even 1,000. It's the profound result when two or more respectful human beings determine to go beyond their preconceived ideas to meet a great challenge. We can take the road less traveled because of the synergy of the National Federation of the Blind. Our work with the Maryland General Assembly is another important part of our mission to ensure the full integration of the blind into society. This work involves many members. On February 22, 2018, we had to attend 5 hearings at the same time. Wow. Melissa Riccobono led a group to attend the House budget hearing on the State Board of Elections. Eric Duffy led a group who attended the Senate budget hearing on the Center of Excellence in Nonvisual Access, CENA, to Education, Public Information, and Commerce. Ronza Othman led a group who attended the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee hearing on SB 823, a bill to strengthen the enforcement of laws prohibiting discrimination by places of public accommodation. The rest of us attended the Senate Finance Committee hearing on SB 482, a bill to provide deafblind individuals with greater access to information. Then, all of us gathered at the House Health and Government Operations Committee hearing on HB 1088, a bill to strengthen enforcement of non-visual access requirements. Not too many groups can accomplish this kind of a feat. This is a tribute to the depth of our NFB affiliate. The road to full accessibility is long and arduous because the state of Maryland keeps putting up barriers. When HB 1088 was heard in the House Health and Government Operations Committee, one of the delegates remarked that we have been complaining about the inability of Maryland to enforce accessibility laws for years. Indeed, we have. Federationists are like that. Judy Rasmussen is a state employee. She is also a member of the National Federation of the Blind. She had the courage to take the road less traveled by testifying in hearings about roadblocks created by the state that prevent blind employees from doing their jobs. It is most appropriate that our agenda also features a picture of Governor Hogan signing HB 1088/SB 286 into law on May 15th, 2018. Maryland is the first state in the nation to pass a law that provides for a civil penalty against vendors who sell inaccessible information technology and information technology services to the state. Maryland has 18 months to identify accessibility barriers and to inform the vendor of those barriers. Vendors have a year to remedy these problems. For the first offense, vendors may be fined up to $5,000. For subsequent offenses, vendors may be fined up to $10,000. Vendors do not have to make their products accessible if the cost of accessibility is too high. However, the good news is that this law raised the exemption from 5% to 15% of the cost of each product. Although the penalty is small, it is a good beginning. We appreciate the partnership that we have established between the Maryland Department of Disabilities and SENA at the Jernigan Institute. A new feature of this partnership will be the awarding of 3 annual fellowships to help higher education instructors begin to include accessibility concepts contained within the minimum areas of instruction in at least one course offering in their institution. One award of $2,000 will be made available to an instructor of a University System of Maryland school an independent Maryland college. 2 awards of $1,500 each will be made available to instructors of all community colleges within Maryland. The idea for these fellowships came from a work group created by the Maryland General Assembly in 2014 to study concepts in computer science, information systems, and information technology programs in higher education. The National Federation of the Blind of Maryland urged the General Assembly to create this work group because we recognize that we will only achieve true accessibility if all computer science students learn about it in college so that they can carry this knowledge into their future careers. Accessibility must become second nature to all software developers. At our convention last year, we applauded the Department of Disabilities for creating a position in state government to remind agencies of their accessibility requirements. I regret to report that the department let the year go by without even advertising this position. The department should understand that the National Federation of the Blind expects action. This position must be filled, and the individual must not be a figurehead. He or she must have the power to really do the job. We must not be discouraged by this setback. When the first LEGO League announced its 30th season of challenging kids to think like scientists and engineers by building, testing, and programming an autonomous robot using LEGO Mindstorm technology to solve a set of missions in the robot game, some students, with the help of the Maryland School for the Blind, were compelled to accept this challenge. They wanted to compete on terms of equality with sighted peers from across the nation. However, this simple desire was fraught with difficulties. Primarily, the robot building software provided to each team was inaccessible. Team members knew instinctively to ask the National Federation of the Blind to help. As a result, the MSB team was provided with alternate software, which could be made accessible but requires additional loading time. Since problem-solving challenges are timed, additional loading time poses a disadvantage to the teams who must use this alternate software. Therefore, we and the Maryland School for the Blind are insisting that First Leo Lee incorporate non-visual access into its standard software, and that no penalties should be imposed on teams who must use the alternate software. So, I have a question for you. Do we have the synergy to convince Walmart to make its self-serving checkout kiosks accessible to the blind? All right. The plaintiffs, Cindy Morales, Linwood Boyd, Melissa Sheeter, the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland, and the National Federation of the Blind, will persevere because we have the commitment to take the road less traveled. Consider another daunting challenge. On each June 14th, we celebrate Flag Day. In 2018, members of our affiliate really demonstrated our patriotism by protesting the Maryland State Board of Elections, SBE, practices toward voters with disabilities. On the first day of early voting in Maryland's 2018 primary elections, 81 Federationists and our friends formed a picket line near one of the early voting centers in Baltimore City. We protested our loss of the secret ballot that came about when the State Board of Election, SBE, decided to discourage voters from using the electronic ballot marketing device, marking device, BMD. The supposition that our privacy would be protected if two voters used the BMD in every precinct as recommended by the SBE is a joke. This protest is another example of taking the road less traveled. Would a former president and leader of most organizations join us on a picket line? I doubt it. Dr. Mark Maurer was there. President Mark Riccobono took time from writing his banquet address for the National Convention to protest with us. Most people in their 80s would have found an excuse to stay home. Not Tom Bickford. We were successful in convincing the budget committees of the Maryland General Assembly to ask for a report from SBE. In the Joint Chairman's report for fiscal 2019 operating and capital budgets, the committee requested SBE to prepare a report to evaluate the impact of the two voter per precinct policy on voter secrecy. Unfortunately, the report that the General Assembly received not only had no analysis, it didn't even have any data about the previous elections. The report contained not a word about the impact of how this policy affected the secrecy of ballots cast by using the BMD. Of course, we asked the General Assembly to get another report. Let me read a little from the letter by the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland and Disability Rights Maryland to the budget committees of the Maryland General Assembly. Quote, "We respectfully request that the budget committees of the Maryland General Assembly immediately ask the State Board of Elections for a follow-up report analyzing the ballot marking device usage rate during the 2018 primary election to determine if the two voter per precinct policy infringed on any voters' rights to privacy during any of the recounts. If the ballots of any other protected class of citizens were identifiable by gender, race, or ethnicity, for example, the General Assembly would surely insist that SBE revise its policies." End quote. The General Assembly did ask for another report. SBE has not complied yet. But we will get our secret ballot back because we have the synergy and commitment to do it. Oop. In 2005, the Division of Rehabilitation Services, DORS, created the Office of Blindness and Vision Services, OBVS, to appease the National Federation of the Blind in our quest for better services. OBVS was definitely a step in the right direction. Unfortunately, for several reasons, many people do not remain in the employment of the state government. OBVS has difficulty recruiting and maintaining counselors and teachers to provide services. Consequently, OBVS does not have the level of expertise in blindness that we think it should have. We look forward to strengthening our partnership with DORS so that we can help improve the quality of services. We are also embarking on a new career mentoring partnership with DORS, and we look forward to the new opportunities for blind people that will be created by this program. Working with the Maryland State Department of Education, MSDE, is like trying to escape from quicksand. In 2014, a committee of stakeholders, which included the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland, reviewed and revised certification requirements for vision teachers in Maryland. This examination of certification and recertification requirements was mandated in 2010 by the enactment into law of HB 413 and SB 230, vision teacher certification standards had to be reviewed and revised to meet the new Braille standards for reading, writing, and math. We all agreed that every vision teacher would take a Braille competency test by the time of their first recertification. This means that teachers had 5 years to pass a Braille competency test. In 2017, when we offered to pay a large portion of the cost to take the National Certification in Unified English Braille, NCUEB, test in conjunction with our Braille Literacy Conference, there were few takers. Nobody at MSDE bothered to tell teachers about this recertification requirement, and the department never designated which test teachers were supposed to take. When we investigated the problem, we were told that everybody in the certification branch was brand new and had no idea what we were talking about. It pays to keep records. All of the stakeholders agreed on the necessary action. We had to endure more meetings to decide again what we had already decided in 2014. The last meeting was in February. The wheels of bureaucracy move slowly at MSDE. Because of the demands of the Federation, the Braille competency test issue will be finally be considered by the Board of Education at its meeting on December 4, 2018. We look forward to the full implementation of the requirement that every vision teacher in Maryland will pass the NCUEB test by the time of their first recertification. The future for the education of blind children will be more promising beginning on November 26, 2018, because our own Conchita Hernandez will become the low incident specialist and liaison at MSDE and the Maryland School for the Blind. Conchita knows how to take the road less traveled, and the synergy of the National Federation of the Blind will assist her. Because of our synergy and commitment, we have a bright future. We still have many things to accomplish. We must make sure that all aspects of information technology become and remain accessible to us. We must continue to demand the right to a secret ballot that is afforded to every other citizen in Maryland. There is a crisis in Maryland because of the shortage of vision teachers and orientation and mobility instructors. As an NFB affiliate, we must work with all of the stakeholders to insist that this problem be addressed. We must find ways to recruit new teachers into the blindness field and to make sure that they have high expectations for their students. We must insist that the Office of Blindness and Vision Services develop personnel with expertise in blindness so that youth, working age adults, and seniors can obtain quality services to live the lives they want with full participation in society. Our work is too important not to plan for succession. I intend to follow the example of President Maurer in succession when he most recently stepped down from the presidency of NFB in 2014 and passed the mantle of leadership on to President Riccobono. Like Dr. Maurer, I will be active and be available to advise and assist if asked. As Hazel Tenbrook put it, it is impossible for me to retire from the Federation, for it runs deep in my blood and being. I am at your service whenever you think I can perform some useful duty.
Yeah.
Yep, a little bit. I am confident that Rhonda Othman, if we elect her tomorrow, will be an excellent president. She knows how to take the road less traveled. My wish for you as individuals and for the Federation as a whole is a Latin saying that President Woodrow Wilson kept on his desk in the Oval Office. It says, illegitimati carborundum. Loosely translated, it means, don't let the bastards get you. Be they fear, discrimination, low expectations, or an unyielding bureaucracy. Let us continue to love and support each other as we plan for the future. Let us continue to take the road less traveled, and it will make all the difference. Let's sing our song. Someplace in the agenda, live the life you want. Let's go.
Live the life you want. Nobody can stop you. Shoot for the sun and break on through. So you're blind, you'll be fine. We got good news. You can live the life you want. Yes, we know the truth. Grab a cane, get trained. Gotta get moving. Make a change and a wage. That's what we're doing. Come with me. Stop you, shoot for the sun and break on through. So you're blind, you'll be fine. We got good news. You can live the life you want. Yes, we know the truth.
Thank you. This is my report.
Let's dream.